Next case is 95-1458 David Jones versus Village of Chagrin Falls.
Not asked to build that, has he?
Yes, he has. He has here.
difficulty is that while he has plans that have approved for building and office building.
Those are in his debts. I mean, they've been presented to the village.
Well, yes, yes. They've been presented. But that office can hold any money. He wants it and intends that it should hold it back. Now, if he constructs it and then asks for an occupancy permit for a bank, by that time, he will spend several millions of dollars. He will have a lease with the bank, and he will be in a most difficult position if the village should then say, "I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, you can't have any bank there." So that while the village has the ability to interpret its code, and that's what it did, and that's where the problem here is. Because once the village did that, National City Bank is not interested in litigating it anyway. They went down the road, four or five miles, they got a building bank in other communities. But Mr. Jones then was left with his piece of land, and his question was, is this right? Do they have the right to do that? So he called me, and he said, "We can get a judicial interpretation of that." There's no question that there was a controversy. Indeed, the pleadings acknowledge that. The village's position was clear. You can't put a bank in an office district. Mr. Jones' position was clear, and so we have a justiciable controversy. We have a need to resolve it in declaratory judgment action.
Well, can we, I think the bank is maybe in a little difficult position here, because you said the bank didn't want to litigate. They didn't appeal from the administrative order, did they, from the council's or BCA and the council's order that's interpreting their charter. Isn't that the problem here? I mean, they were the interested party. I mean, you argue, of course, that you're not a party to that those proceedings, but isn't that what we're left with, is that the interested party chose not to appeal? And then I guess I'm wondering what your response is to the Court of Appeals. Late in the opinion, they comment, as you know, that on the one hand, Mr. Jones is arguing that he was not a party to the administrative proceedings, but now he has enough interest to file a declaratory judgment action, which would seem to be a little inconsistent. I didn't see any response to that in your briefs. I'd like to see if you have a response to that.
Just the answer is this, that he was not a party to the proceeding, therefore under Shoemaker. There's a question whether he had a right, that is Jones. Here, I didn't represent that proceeding, I didn't know the man. He wasn't there, he never attended a hearing. Shoemaker says that if he was there, and if he took a position, then he's the same as a party. He wasn't. But here, does he have an interest enough to file a declaratory judgment action? Indeed, he does. There is an actual controversy, and he needs to get an answer because he has to do something with that property.
Mr. Burns, does he have any alternative, any other recourse in filing any other type of administrative action other than this declaratory judgment to get a answer to his dilemma?
The answer is yes. One of the things he could have done was to file or ask for an interpretation, exactly the same interpretation that National City Bank had already asked for, and wind up with exactly the same answer because there wasn't any difference.
He could have appealed it. He would be a party because his property and his particular building would be an issue before the proper forum. But what you have, the reason he couldn't appeal that is because there's been no determination about Mr. Jones. His customer, potential customer, was no longer interested because they weren't going to be able to put up a bank. He lost his option.
Justice, that's exactly the issue in this case. This is exactly the issue that this court must decide, and this is the burning, important issue in this case.
Hasn't it been decided, though, in many cases where we found that if there's a statutory scheme, a party needs to follow that, and that there's no subject matter jurisdiction for a court with a declaratory judgment where there's already established a statutory scheme? For good reason here, because the zoning city or a council or a village wants to interpret their own zone.
Your Honor, the answer is no, that is not correct. This court has permitted in two cases declaratory judgment actions where there were administrative...
Did, did those those cases involve constitutional questions?
I believe in either one did they. Those cases are Ohio Hospital Association, Community Mutual Insurance Company, and Gannon versus Perk, both of them were cited in my brief. The important issue here, and let me see if I can just reshoot something from the Court of Appeals opinion, because this is the thing that must be decided, and it's fairly important. What the Court of Appeals said, Judge Porter, although the decision again involves an interpretation or construction of the village zoning code rather than a challenge to its constitutionality, we believe the reasons behind requiring a trial court's deference to the administrative decisions by the procedure of administrative appeal remain solid. The trial court may not interfere with the zoning power of the municipality unless it's exercised in an arbitrary, compensatory, or unreasonable manner. This standard of review is guaranteed by direct appeal to the court pursuant to Revised Code Chapter 2506. The County Police Court may not usurp the powers of the community by exercising jurisdiction over their subject matter that is first decided at the administrative level. That's at page 16. Let me tell you, I've been doing this for something like 36 years, and I understand the reasons for deference when we're talking about legislative matters. In other words, a determination of what the policy should be. By golly, the courts ought to stay out of that business unless there is an arbitrary and capricious or unreasonable decision. And indeed, the same may be true to a lesser extent with regard to variances, because these are fact-intensive matters where an administrative agency has some special expertise in determining what the facts are, an application of law and others for it to appeal. We're talking about the construction of
the construction only to the extent of unconstitutionality is what courts are supposed to do with this. They look at unconstitutionality to construe your own zoning. I mean, that's what we started with. They would construe their own code.
Justice, members of the court, when a municipality enacts an ordinance, by golly, it's supposed to be in words that people can understand, and it's supposed to guide both the municipality and the people who are bound by it. There's a criminal violation if one violates this. Now, a criminal judge does not have the opportunity to defer the determination of what an ordinance means to a city. He must decide what it means from its four corners. And indeed, that's a judicial function.
Well, counsel,
deference required here.
Counsel, it isn't the language issue whether or not a bank is going to be engaged in retailing. And I assume that the bank you contemplated was not going to be an investment banker or somebody who essentially is an office kind of setting, but would be holding itself out to attract retail customers. Isn't that sort of the crux of...
That's the crux of the underlying question, that is whether or not a bank is a financial office. The question, however, that's raised here is whether or not the common police court judge, Judge Galbraith, had jurisdiction to make that decision.
Well, some banks, maybe all banks, are financial offices. Some banks would be engaged in retail and some wouldn't. I thought this... The issue that you went in for an interpretation on is whether or not this was a permissible use, and they looked at it and said, looks like retail to us, it's not permissible.
A full service bank has both retail and commercial functions. It is a bank.
And would be a financial office.
Pardon?
And would be a financial
would
office.
Would be a financial office.
Right.
So that, so far as we're concerned, seeing that the ordinance permitted financial offices, it permitted banks, and that was a judicial function to determine.
But didn't the ordinance also make it clear that retail was not to be conducted in this area? And it sounds like what your client envisioned was a bank that would be a financial office that would be involved in in a variety of retail financial services.
Justice Frager, that's correct. However, the fact that some of his activities were retail, there's nothing in the code that says that you may not have any retail activities in an office building district. It doesn't say that. For instance, a financial office might include check cashing. If somebody's check cashing operations is a financial office, but apparently banking is not. But meanwhile, that issue is one that the Court of Appeals never got to. The question was whether or not the county police court judge abused his discretion by entertaining the declaratory judgment action. Because if he did not abuse his discretion, if this is an alternative, an appropriate alternative remedy to an appeal, then he didn't abuse his discretion. The Court of Appeals did not address it in that fashion. But this court has made it very clear that that is the issue. The judge did not abuse his discretion.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Ms. General Court.
The opinion of the Court of Appeals below is not that the availability of another adequate remedy at law precludes the bringing of declaratory judgment. The language of Rule 57 clearly says that the existence of another adequate remedy does not preclude a judgment for declaratory relief where it is appropriate. That has meant to the court that it has discretion in determining when it is appropriate that it should decide that the declaratory judgment would not come before the alternative administrative remedy.
If I'm correct in the fact pattern, Jones did not participate in the original administrative hearing, correct?
He did not attend the hearing.
He could have?
Yes, he could have attended.
Is there anything that would have prohibited him from being a party to the determination of his contract with the bank and being part of the appellate process or the administrative process?
No. In fact, in making the decision, the Board of Zoning Appeals looks at the property, and Jones was the owner of the property. It doesn't look per se at the bank or per se at Jones. It looks at the property.
Okay.
Decision on the property.
And so then the zoning commission said, we don't want a bank here. It doesn't fit the zoning ordinance. The bank said, we don't want to appeal it. We're going to go somewhere else in the store, correct?
That's not really what was asked. What was asked by Jones was whether or not the bank was a permitted use in the office.
Now, Jones didn't really ask that. The bank asked that. Jones didn't participate.
I'm sorry.
And the bank said, okay, we got an answer. We don't want to spend any more money on this. We're going somewhere else, correct?
That is correct.
So now, if Jones wants to go on further, Jones can file the same application the bank can, get his answer, the same answer which we would expect, and then go and appeal it to the court as an administrative appeal. Continue.
That is correct. And Jones also has another option. Jones has a preserve use variance option that was not pursued. There are two provisions under the zoning code. One is for an interpretation. Interpretation in this case is merely what was submitted under the code. But if you look at the language, it says these uses are permitted as a matter of right. And you go further, you find that the Board of Zoning Appeals has the ability to vary that language, to grant a variance that is contrary to the strength language. So actually, Jones had two options available.
Counsel, there's a big difference here. I didn't see in the ordinance any reference to any parcels in the village. I didn't see any reference to National City Bank or to Mr. Jones. Does that make a difference here? Was this actually someone's application about Mr. Jones' property, or was it a general interpretation of the code?
Well, to tell you, Your Honor, that the minutes reflect that Mr. Burns indicated to the board members that National City Bank has the option to purchase the property, and that is why they want to confirm whether or not they have the right to be.
Mr. Burns represented National City?
Yes. Whether or not they have the right to be in that location. The Board of Zoning Appeals, if you look at the minutes, believed it was making a determination based on that location.
He also lives in the bank, I know, okay. Where there is a legislative scheme, this court has chosen, has said, that it is not appropriate for a declaratory judgment to replace that legislative scheme. And I think the Court of Appeals looked at the legislative scheme involved here and found it compelling. We have the Constitution, Article 18, Section 3, which gives home rule. We have a situation where we have a charter municipality where it has control over its zoning. The risk locate indicates that clearly that the municipalities have control over their zoning. And we have provisions in the charter which specifically grant them the right to interpret as well as to grant variances in this board of zoning appeals. So seeing that legislative scheme, the court below said, since there's no issue of constitutionality, we're going to defer to the legislative scheme, which is very compelling because home rule is involved. And we're going to say that Mr. Jones had to first exhaust his administrative remedies before he could come before this court. Now, there are cases, and I don't think the Court of Appeals holding below is contrary to Tenet Driscoll. If Mr. Jones had brought a constitutionality claim, it's clear that the Board of Zoning Appeals couldn't decide that claim. This is strictly a case like Shoemaker, where there is no claim of constitutionality or unconstitutionality. Therefore, the Court of Appeals felt that the decision-making process was better in the administrative process where the legislature had put it to begin with. So I don't see their holding precluding a declaratory judgment when there is an available administrative remedy in all cases.
Meantime, have all the administrative remedy time limits gone by?
Technically, Jones has not even begun his administrative remedies. Again, he's not even sought a use variance, so he can't even start to talk about a 2506 appeal from that. Now, the Court of Appeals below, though, felt that because of the option contract between the bank and Jones, that Jones had standing to bring a 2506 appeal. And if you look at the test that this court announced in Schumacher, the directly affected test, it's clear that Jones, being the property owner, was directly affected by a decision which stated that an office building, if he built an office building, the bank could not occupy it on his property.
Except that doesn't trigger your administrative appeal rights. There has to be an adverse decision before that can occur, not an advisory opinion, as it were here.
Well, I think the Court of Appeals looked at it from two perspectives. And they said, if there was not a definitive decision which impacted Mr. Jones that came out of the Board of Zoning Appeals, then he has no real controversy for a declaratory judgment. On the other hand, if you look at it as though he did have a decision which impacted his rights, then he had an obligation to go forward with the 2506 appeal.
Just as likely that that could be dismissed, though, on the basis that he never got a definitive answer to his question by way of other than just interpretation. There has been no denial for their permit to build.
That is correct, and I think that is what the Court of Appeals was trying to say. There's no, even if you want to say, not look at standing, from the standpoint of constitutionality issue in a declaratory judgment or the absence of a constitutionality issue, if you set all that aside and you look just at the requirements to bring a declaratory judgment action, the Court of Appeals said that you don't find a real controversy here because Mr. Jones is claiming there's been no definitive ruling which affects him by way of injury.
Okay, I understand. Thank you, Justice.
In considering the Court of Appeals' opinion, and I'm looking at this from a bottom-line approach, what do you see if we were to affirm the Court of Appeals? Is there any relief for Mr. Jones other than administratively? Or is he foreclosed because of time constraints?
I believe he still has his use variance ability, because again, if you look at the code, the interpretation was whether or not a bank is a permitted use. You look at the code, it says these uses shall be permitted by the right. And then it goes on and says that the Arizona Appeal has the ability to vary, okay, the strict language of the code in case of unnecessary hardship and exceptional circumstances. So Mr. Jones would come forward and say, here's my exception, here's my exceptional circumstances, here's my unnecessary hardship, and then he could begin his administrative process.
Thank you, Mr. Jennifer. Mr. Burns, you've used your time, but 30 seconds.
I think I need to get into getting this since I don't know that I've been very clear here. The city, the village, cannot deny an application to build this building. It can be built before someone invests millions of dollars to build a building. And indeed, perhaps before they get financing, they need to know how they can use it. There's only a certain number of ways you can do that. One way is you can ask for an interpretation. Does this ordinance permit the building of a bank in an office district? That's the only practical thing you can do in this whole code.
And the question comes then, can you go to court with a declaratory judgment to say to the village, we don't like your interpretation? Not that it's unconstitutional, but we don't like or agree with your interpretation. That's the real question, is can you do that?
Can you? Yes, and that becomes a question. Are you restricted to do this only by an appeal process? I understand what counsel says, and I understand the reason that they say it, because wouldn't it be nice if a court could never look at this matter on a de novo basis? What does this mean? But we're limited to looking at a record. By the way, what would a record be? If you look at the minutes, and you don't have one of those in the record, they're attached to the judgment motion.
What was the reason why you didn't seek the administrative remedies that were available to you?
Well, that was the only one that was available, Judge, because...
Well, she says there are other avenues that you should have taken before you took the action that you did, and I just wondered whether you agree, and if you agree, why didn't you take them?
The only remedy that was available that Jones could have done, that the bank had already done, was ask for an interpretation, which had already been the city, had already made the village, had already made a decision. A use variance is of no value. Jones doesn't have an unusual hardship. He wants to use this. It's not a question that he can't put something else in that building. If he has the right to put a bank there, he wants to do it. There were lots of banks that wanted to be in Chagrin Falls. Not just National City, a whole mess of banks. Two of them are now building down the road. He wanted to rent to one. How does he make that determination? Is it really necessary that he goes back to the same village that NCB has already been there? This village has already passed an ordinance, not legislatively, an administrative act. They've said, our opinion is that you can't build a bank in an office district. We don't think the financial office is a bank. But the best, does he really have to go back and do the same thing in that appeal? Is this not an alternative remedy that's appropriate? Did that trial judge abuse his discretion? On what authority? Because there isn't. This court will make that decision for the first time.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.